We're back.
Sorry about that, folks. In Radioland, we experience technical difficulties occasionally. Anyways, we're going to read from Toth's Transparency is the Apocalypse, blah, 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 Chapter 1. Their meeting was classified. Top secret level security clearance. No one outside the president's secret service was to know either of the two men had ever met each other. It was early in the president's first term, and any radical change was null and void until he had the power of the people behind him. But that takes time, and a second term. And considering the current government he was working, quote, with, that meant lots of feints and counterfeints. Assange was escorted in. The president studied him and let the moment linger. The irony of this gaunt, ghostly, dangerous white man plotting with the first black president amused him. So you're the 16-year-old kid who hacked the Department of Defense in 86? Props. I was just showing off, replied Assange. It was a piece of cake, but I hope it helped you Yanks realize how vulnerable the USA was at the time. Just showing off, like Matthew Broderick in War Games, the president smiled. I like that. I'm a fan of your work. Did you know what the future held for you? Well, when I got inside your database, I thought I might find some good gossip or exciting spy stories. What I did see scared the bejesus out of me. For 2 months, your private history became my addiction with an adrenaline rush I couldn't kick. During that time, I rarely slept. And when I did, my dreams were full of FBI agents kicking down my door or accidents taking my life. You were supposed to be the good guys, but your secret memos read more like you were amoral strategists, sponging techniques from all your enemies to use against them while improving upon them. Some of us, yes, admitted the president. There are still plenty of cowboys that like to play rough but never admit to it publicly, except Dick Cheney. The only end game I could think of was to come clean and be as humble as possible, hoping they would take pity on a silly teenager. It was a huge relief when they really just wanted to know how I did it. They even offered me a job, Assange said. Why didn't you take it? The president asked. I was traumatized. I kept thinking, you guys are liars. You're pulling the biggest scam job the world has ever seen. At that point, there was nothing I could do about it. I even considered suicide. You'd rather die than fight? You were young once. How did you feel when you found out who really killed the Kennedys and Martin Luther King? Or did you not learn that until you took office? Oh no, my dad was CIA. He hit me as a teenager, and yes, it was hard on me. I was 6 when they shot Martin. It was awful enough having your hero killed by a racist redneck, but to find out he was aided and abetted by the good guys was devastating. Helplessness, that sums up being young with too much knowledge, waxed Assange. What's the point of living a lie? It took years of meditation and reading before I stumbled upon the Pentagon Papers, Supreme Court ruling, and I had an epiphany. I don't have to fight them. All the world needs is an easily accessible Ellsberg who will publish what the mainstream media can't and won't. I found my purpose in life, and I was off and running. I read about what you did in Africa, said the president. When I realized you were that kid from 86, I got goosebumps. It was awesome. I felt I could finally do something. Me too. And that's why I wanted to see you. So that's the end of chapter one. You can read the rest, jonathantothfromhoth.blogspot.com. Transparency is the Apocalypse. That's chapter one. I'll try and read another chapter soon.
That
was the harmonica, classical harmonica trio?
Yeah, the Adler Trio. Now, the thing is, there's a very famous harmonica player called Larry Adler.
And so it's, I'm sure it's different Adlers, but, you know, in terms of knowing harmonica lore, that you know, there is a thought parallel there.
He's kind of like the Stella Adler of Adler-based harmonica players.
And now, okay, now it's loading again. Shall we continue?
Gently.
Let's see. She is a hot blonde, by the way.
Yes, she is.
The play-by-play.
Succulent.
Bass harp. And a quarter. Think the Larry, the Adler trio keeps freezing up, so she'll
they're a frigid trio sometimes.
So make an opposite selection. I don't know, you know, it's probably set at too high a bit rate level.
Harmonicas,
you know,
just need to warm up sometimes, you know, get juicy.
I give up. Okay, we'll try.
They obviously don't want to be in the mix. You're sellouts, Adler Trio. Sold out to the man. Froze up, just like the man always does. Freezes that capital, takes it away from the 99. Man.
It's inevitable.
The system, dude. Gotta rage hard.
Okay, this then is Dennehy, right?
Okay, so yeah, this is my buddy Serengeti, who just got written up in Rolling Stone. I figure we play a Serengeti classic for all the fans out there.
Oh, that rocks.
Dennehy.
Here we go.
Gently.
Favorite drink on those bears, hawks, socks, bulls. Say goodbye a little longer like I ate a piece of Big Red. Grew a mustache the size of Mike Ditka's forehead. Hair comb to the side, looking like a piece of foam. Buick speakers, red cooler, 85 bear zubas, polar sausage, bratwurst. Walking like my cockers, Stacy Adams, no shirt. Jules to get a case of squirt. Wife's pissed cause I forgot to get the minute rice. So I'm back in the damn Buick to get a stinking bag of ice. To get a stinking bag of rice. My wife Jules is cute, her taste really moved me like I ate juicy fruit. Had me dancing like Chris Penn in Footloose. 85 Walter Ruse, old style pack of clues. Go to Ace, no tools and weed whacker fuel. 85 Bear Subas, Stacy Adams got ruined. Flood a basement sump pump, shop vac, clean up. Cook brats, cook chops, your heat shouldn't be that hot. Keep your juices in the chops, keep your juices in the brats. Serve them on paper plates, tater salad and grape pop. My favorite actor was Dennehy long before he played Knight. When Behringer was a substitute, everything was going right. Even after Jordan left and Dave Corzine retired. Saw Dustin's wild throws and Mike Ditka got fired. Favorite actor Dennehy, favorite drink on Dulles. Bears, Hawks, Sox, Bulls. Play softball with the guys, wife made curly fries. Drink about four doles, grounded out, two pot flies. In the Buick, down Western, stop and get some more brats. On sale chicken, Italian sausage and orange pop. This week fishing trip, gotta get some new flies. Wife packed turkey subs, Jay's chips and peach pies. Watch a little Dennehy, pull out the laser disc. Sniper 1, 2, and 3, Behringer makes great flicks. Listen to the shuffle, rewind Richard Dix part. Damn, I left those orange pops in the trunk of the Skylark. Sneak a couple old doles, shit, there's my damn wife. You know, honey, I'll be back. I gotta get some more ice. Back in the damn Buick, I should go to the damn bar. I saw Ditka once in the Eatons in a sports car. Favorite actor, Dennehy. Favorite drink on Bulls. Bears, Hawks, Sox, Bulls. Play a little poker. Spend time with the wife. Take her out to Bennigan's. See if they cook chops right. Go and get a laser disc. projection screen TV, Portillo's Italian beef, and a movie starring Tommy B. Back in the damn Buick, cut on WCKG, caught a song by Glenn Frey and an interview with Dennehy. So I'm driving down Western Ave, think I'm gonna stop at Zayers. Got a splitting freaking headache, so I popped a couple bears. So I'm back in the damn Buick, think I need an oil check. The baddest of George Thorogood, smoke stoves on my deck. Read the sports section, Bears and their O-line, trying to find a decent Fiero with a for sale sign. Cut on WCKG, Huey Lewis and the news. The heart of rock and roll is still beating. The Bears lose. Favorite actor, Denny. Favorite drink, all those. Bears, Hawks, Sox, Bulls. Favorite day, Sunday. Favorite team, the Bears. Favorite store, Ventures, Sayers, Sayers. Favorite show, Danza, also the news. Weatherman, Skillin, music, the Bulls. Favorite actor, Denny. Favorite drink, all those. Bears, Hawks, Sox. Coach of the Bears, we at least get 10 wins. 10 wins, Dennehy on the O-line, Behringer at tight end. Behringer, favorite actor, Dennehy. Favorite drink, all dolls. Bears, Hawks, Sox, Bulls. Favorite actor, Farina, Andrew, Tons, Brats, Chops, Dogs, they're done. Bears, Hawks, Sox, Bulls, 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 Bulls. Favorite actor, Farina, Andrew, Tons, Brats, Chops, Dogs, they're done. Favorite coach, Dicka, vacation place, Johnson, Sausage, Johnson, Chicken, Swanson's, other actor, Behringer, linebacker, Buckus, Chopped, Peppers, Tomatoes, Onions, 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 Onions. Favorite Mayor Daly, cigarettes, Coles, Stanley, makes great goals. Favorite Judge Mathis, favorite drink, Old Dolls, Hawks, Cubs, Bears, Bull. Favorite Tower Sears, favorite song to shuffle, Jays, Fritos, Doritos, Ruffles, 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 Ruffles.
That's Getty off the album Dennehy, Serengeti. Shout out to him for being in the new Rolling Stone. His new album C.A.R. or CAR acronym.
Hey, I'll tell you something.
Now out and reviewed in Rolling Stone and out on Anticon Records.
That's amazing. It's got over 200,000 hits.
Yeah, that's 203,000 hits. That's from almost 10 years ago, wow. Dude. Or almost. Like,
that's a great video too.
That's fun it's, video. Yeah, it's on YouTube. Yeah. Serengeti Dennehy, like Brian Dennehy, of course. Favorite actor Dennehy.
That's funny. It's
so
funny.
You gonna play him California?
What?
The Getty California on there
right
too?
On top there. Yeah.
This is a new one that came out on Anticon. This is not on the newest record. It's on Family and Friends, the album that came out last year. Great album. Definitely check out Serengeti Family and Friends. You can listen to it for free on GrooveShark.com. I know that. So, this one is the lead single, California.
Okay, here we go.
Ever since I got divorced, everything's been going right on course. I've been riding a horse, doing a little horses, fun in shorts. Relaxing, texting, sleeping, refilling glasses of Riesling. What a great way to spend an evening. I look so good, I'm beaming. Ever since I lost my job, I started a blog. It's been going so great. It's about the ins and outs of the perfect date. Film tickets and ratings, to kiss in the first minute or waiting. Just get it over with. That blog post got viewed the most. Ever since I got a nose job, I've had a more appealing schnoz. It's not so big and bulky, it's small and cute like Cokie. Those little 22 ounce bottles, I feel right at home after a swallow. My collars aren't stretched out, and more focus on my mouth. Reinvent yourself. Since my dog died, I haven't had to be at home. I don't just walk around the block, I tick to my own clock. My rent's gotten a little cheaper. I started seeing my friend Peter. He had terrible allergies. It made him a loud breather. Ever since I stopped rapping, I've been totally relaxed. No more hiring a publicist or trying to find fat tracks. I don't have to pretend. Everything's going so well. One of 10 acts at a venue called hell.
Reinvent yourself. California. Reinvent yourself. California. Reinvent yourself. California. Reinvent yourself. California. Reinvent
Hey, so
all right.
So we had a good thing happen over the break there while we were playing Getty. Our friend Randy called in, and Randy, I know you're just saying this to me on the break, but tell the listeners what you just got in the mail, man.
You bet. You bet. Tucker was kind enough to send me 4 CDs from the frozen food section, and I've only gotten to listen to about half of one, but it was great so far. I listened to half of a CD by Jonathan Toth called Mindwashing.
Brainwashing,
which is real impressive. And I am going to get my wife, who is the master burn mistress, to burn off some copies and send them to one of my sons, who of course is more of the hip-hop taste than I am, but I'm enjoying it too. So,
but see, look at that. Middle-aged folks with grown children are appreciating our rap. That really inspires me.
It's kind of scary, actually.
White middle-aged folks can appreciate it. I love it.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's entertaining, and that particular intro on that album on Brainwashing is fun.
He's a wacky and wonderful best friend and producer, and Jonathan Toth, who's the creator of all this frozen food lore, you know, my best friend, man. I couldn't have done any of it without him, so big ups to Johnny.
I wish I'd found out about Tucker Booth for president before now. I could have been actively espousing that for a while now.
Well, Randy, you know, it's really funny, and I will say this to listeners and John. I don't even know if Not So Shy knows this, but when we put out President in 2004, people started getting so inspired by it that they actually wrote my name in, wrote my name in 2004-2008 elections. We've had 3 valid reports now where people came to me and vouched, and I said, "Are you serious?" And they said, "Yes," and they had witnesses and everything.
Oh, that's fun.
At least 3 people have voted for me.
I wanted to jump back to something you started out with today, referencing the election with Kerry and Bush and how you didn't see much difference. And I was right there with you on that particular thing. It's like, oh, gee, a rich guy from Harvard and a rich guy from Harvard, and we've got it again. You know, what's his name is a Harvard lawyer, and so is, Obama the Rombot. Romney is also a Harvard lawyer. It's just that the future with Romney as president looks so much worse than the future with Obama that I think we do have to go out and I do what I do, which is vote against the worst of the two evils.
Well, I guess
I have no other choice.
A social planner can't be as big of a threat to me as someone whose main form of industry was venture capitalist leveraged buyouts. And not always hostile takeovers, but let's be fair. No small company wants to have someone glom on like that and then run them out of business. You know?
Yeah, and that's not who I have any hope for in keeping America alive.
I believe in the social planner idealist
again.
I just want it to be alive. Yeah, I do too. I do too. And like I said, I'm not all that thrilled with Mr. Obama and how he's done, so I'm not one of these people that's still real rah rah. But I think I still probably vote for him.
Most thinking people who understand how we are not the great nation we should be in comparison to other democratic nations in the world regarding health care and regarding the games we've played with the military, with South America. You know, we have played the game of imperialism very quietly in the background, and there are people you can't convince them how horrible it is. You can't get them to pay attention long enough. They want to stick their fingers in their ears.
You know what I was just thinking is the Republican Party seems to be, when it's in power, they tend to want to change laws in their favor.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, that's what seems to be happening is they will bend the law to make it so this happens, you know?
Well, that's how we got Citizens United. And that's something people need to be more aware of, is it really does just let the direct connection between money and government become a free-flowing dynamic. You know, there's no interruption in the process. We just hand them the money and they do what we want. You know, I mean, that's essentially what it means. It's a horrible thing.
We seem to be out of the loop as far as the decisions being made in a lot of cases, where they will say, oh, well, we're going to do this, and it's like, well, I thought it was a democracy. What do we have to say about it? Not a thing. Less and less, where, you know, we're supposed to, you know, pick between two puppets, as, you know, it was saying before, you know. it's kind of scary.
I think that comedian was right on with that. You know, it's just which is the worst scenario, and I think it's pretty obvious what the worst scenario is, and I really do think Obama's going to get his next 4 years. But what a sad statement that so many people can be fooled into believing that maybe Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney would be a good idea.
Well, I think what I wanted to speak to about what both of y'all were saying is that, you know, I agree with a lot of all of this. I think that Democrats have tried to make their own policy, you know, and I think the health care and how frustrating that's been for a lot of people is proof positive that they did try and make a push for their own agenda, even though the other side didn't really want to go along with it. I think that's where the problem is in diplomacy. It seems like you're right in the sense that these guys on the other side now, they don't seem like they're going to be any more diplomatic than what I've seen. But what I keep hoping is that someone like Obama, with his idealism, could be someone who does finally strike a diplomatic accord like Clinton did somewhere around term two, you know, and that they can finally get some things done by compromise. Because I'm telling you, I know I sound like my parents now, which is great because I'm 33 and I'm finally growing up, but, you know, the answer lies in compromise, especially on big issues like abortion and this polarizing no abortion ever, you know, stance that Ryan takes. You know, that instantly polarizes people.
To be fighting against
no,
that.
There's just no give there. There's no give there at all.
It loses 90% of the women, too. I mean, you know, that's a playground that they should never even have stepped into. It's never going to be the government's choice. It's never going to be, technically, it's never even the husband's choice. Believe me, I have three sons. You know, at any point, she could have gone in a different direction, and it would have been her choice, and what would anyone say about it? And, you know, whether it's legal or not, or whether it's impeded, it's just going backwards to think you should impede a woman's access to a clean medical procedure. It's just in some form of crazy.
I don't know. The term I keep uttering is civil rights violation, and people keep getting angry at me for saying that, you know, and I don't mean to say that I think abortion is a great thing at all. I'm fairly critical
of
it.
Not at all.
But, you know, it's the same way that I don't think that a lot of things are great things. But to say 100% no one has the right to smoke marijuana in this country, but you can go out and buy a fifth of 100-proof whatever crappy liquor and go home and get wasted on that.
Or crash your car and die.
Right. Or whatever. You know, it's a civil rights violation that I feel like people have just kind of bended on because the world has hammered a lot of this dogmatic rhetoric into them about
fundamentalist.
What's true.
Yeah.
You know, and I say that's just another example. But, you know, these issues, gay marriage, abortion, marijuana advocacy rights, like Bill Maher was talking about on the politically incorrect clip we played. These issues are bigger deals to me than whether or not Obama racks up more debt or not. To me, the debt is offensive if it's not going for social programs.
Well,
it's offensive if it's going for rulers or something.
All of those things are hooks that the politicos hang their work on. They hang their hats on, and they know that there's always this group of people out here who somehow want to police their neighbors. They want, you know, they want to get, you know, there's actually an anti-Obama commercial about gay marriage that, you know, unlike John, I do have a television and I watch MSNBC and Current TV and a lot of stuff. And there's an anti-gay marriage, anti-Obama commercial where a man and a woman who look like Joe Average and his wife are conversing, and she says, oh, Obama's trying to force gay marriage on all of us now. And the man says, that's not the change I voted for. And I'm just sitting there, and if you have any kind of a brain, it's insulting to your intelligence. It's awful. It's the most nonsensical non-issue that could exist. You know, and anybody with any intelligence is, you know, I mean, first of all, I was raised in a religious school, and I can tell you there's very little indication that you would get from reading the Bible that would actually turn you into this anti-gay crap that they come out with. Well, but the other part of it is what business is it of yours? And it's not, you know, it's like, so what if your children come home and see that, you know, Don and Steve are living together down the, you know, I mean, that's been going on for a million years. They have antique shops, don't they?
Well, and yeah, it's funny because it's legally insanity. Legally on the books, you know, in states, it's still illegal to be a homosexual. So really, like in the South, you know, if you were caught giving another man a blowjob, you could go to jail for that. And I keep thinking to myself, now, you know what? Once again, I'm not saying that homosexuality is good or bad in this statement. I'm not. What I'm saying is that what business is it of mine whom you want to lay with sexually? What business is it of mine?
It. What's it got
as
to
long
do,
as you're not trying to do it with me, it's not my business.
What's it got to do with governing the country? It's all it is they look for an emotional button to push to try and get knee-jerk reactions out of knee-jerks, and they get them.
And that,
gays, guns, and God.
Well,
and God.
You said it about the Bible, bud, but, you know, the only story they latch onto is Sodom and Gomorrah. And I got to say, if you actually read that, even literally, they're not saying they're just homos. They're saying that they were completely amoral, that the whole city was corrupt, almost Las Vegas or something, where it's just built on sinful intent. So what they're saying is because it was built on sinful intent of all kinds and vices, it burned itself to the ground. And it's an allegory. It's not a, you know, that's an obvious allegory in the King James Bible. It's filled with alliteration and, you know, all this hyperbole. It's not even literal.
It's a wonderful book of parables and with a lot of good ideas. You know, what they call the golden rule came out of the Bible. It's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What a wonderful idea. Not do unto others before they do unto you. No, the other one, the right one. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
And they said, love your neighbor and bless your enemy. I mean, well, Jesus said that, man. That's peace right there, is blessing your enemy.
That's multi-relate.
Yeah, there's
multi
a lot of good stuff in there, but by the same token, nobody spent 3 days inside of a fish. There was no talking snake. The storybook stuff, it's a parable.
God, to make a point. See, God put the fossils there to make you think.
That's what it was.
Absolutely. There is
and to lift up those layers of tens of thousands of years.
But the world is only 6,000 years old. That's all.
That's right. Well, that's right.
If you're Bill Hicks' dad.
Yeah, I was raised, I told John about this. I didn't have a chance to tell you, but I was raised in a religious school, and one of my teachers did such a good job that she had me convinced that men actually had one less rib than women do, because in the Old Testament, supposedly God created woman out of
What they tell children in catechism, basically. Yeah.
And they actually had
and
me
never,
convinced.
Roman Catholic
they,
Church.
Yeah, you got to figure it out later. No, it's not true.
Yeah,
everybody's got the same number of ribs. When you look at it in a skeleton, they're not lopsided.
Are they legitimate ribs or are they illegitimate ribs, John?
Sure,
because if they're illegitimate ribs, then they don't count.
Illegitimate ribs?
Illegitimate ribs do not
count. Did he go singing in the background? What happened?
The way the phone works is when somebody's talking on the phone, the person on the other end of the phone can only hear the person talking into the phone. But if somebody else is talking into the mic, then it has a nice filter.
It doesn't get through. I'll say this to Randy.
Randy,
one more question Randy. Well, we got you on the phone. One more question for you. As far as that package that package that you got of the frozen food section material, how much did that cost you?
Didn't cost me a penny. Tucker Booth sent it to me for free.
Free. And what was it?
Free.
It was your destiny. It was the care package of destiny. You were destined to receive it. So
it's pretty cool. Unfortunately, the post office didn't respect it as much as they might have, because the jewel case for brainwashing is a little cracked. But but the CD's not.
Well,
the
I apologize.
Not,
those ruffians at the post office will get a tongue lashing for me.
That's the post office.
They need to treat our product more gently. But anyways, man, thank you so much. Other folks, if you want a care package of Destiny, listen to Randy.
I will be listening to it throughout the week, and I will have my wife burn it and send it off to my youngest son as a gift.
And please, share, burn, and bootleg it with your friends. We appreciate your appreciation, bud. Thanks for calling in.
Enjoyed the show, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Randy.
All right. See you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Randy Stites out in Colorado calling in. Yeah. We've had a Missouri phone call and a Colorado phone call. It's been a little Midwestern
in
here today.
That's rocking. That's something, man.
Oh, yo, shout outs. My buddy Tyvert in England. I bet you're listening right now.
I hope so.
Matt Tyvert Hayward.
Can pick us up on podcast.
Pretty sure he's in Essex. Over in Essex in Essex. England. Hey. Over in the United Kingdom where they just had the Olympics. Shout outs.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Daniel Felch down in San Diego, shout-outs to you, my buddy who texted us last week about Mitt Romney supporters down in San Diego giving him a lecture while he was waiting their table. That was fun. They said that because of Mitt Romney, he had that job.
Wow.
I don't know if Mitt Romney does own a stake in his restaurant or not, but that statement may very well be inaccurate.
But it was a side collateral business that came in because there was a huge population of people in the city, no doubt.
Well, and they were rich white folks that told them so. So, you know, I'm sure there's some level of just entitled speech there, you know. I'm entitled. You know, I've got culture capital, as they say in small group communications classes. That means that you're white and tall and, you know, have blue eyes.
You're get away part with of the demographic, of buddy. Yeah.
Tucker Booth for president. If you're tired of other stooges buying your company and then charging you large amounts of money and saddling you with a debt before you go bankrupt, please consider voting Tucker Booth for president. I know nothing about how to manage your company and don't purport to. In fact, all I'll probably do is be a dim-witted cheerleader on the sidelines. But I do believe in social change and human rights. So if you're tired of people telling you what to do and who to fuck, vote Tucker Booth for president. Yay. We'll smoke when I'm in. And by smoke, I mean metaphorically. Thank you. Don't call my house. I don't know what you're talking about. Thank you. Gentle harmonica. That girl's quite a mouthsmith.
That was Susan Sauter harmonica. Harmonica hyphen Susan Sauter, if you want to look for her on YouTube. This particular cut is 23 minutes long.
And it's all succulent.
Like, awesome. Awesome, amazing harmonica player. That's, wow. Anyway.
She's the Pavarotti of harmonica virtuosos.
Quite. There are a lot of them out there. There really are. I mean, I'm just blown away. I mean, the harmonica groups, too.
Pun intended, blown
away. The Adler Trio, and there's one, I think, the Mendez Trio, that are just awesome. They're, you know, I mean,
the Menendez Brothers.
Mendez.
Killer Trio.
So, yeah. So which cuts do you like on this Tucker Booth 2012 Resolution?
Well, we keep talking politics, and I was saying, before we even get into the plug for the new record, was saying to you while we were playing the harmonica stuff, I love the show today, how many times the tone has changed.
Just tossed it this way and that way. And
it started
out
hella rocking. Okay. And like real, like, F corporate shit. And then it got like into the edgy comedy that's even too much for us, like cringe inducing like, for the DJs.
Like cringing,
and all these guys beyond the grave, and how cool that is to just, you know, remember and appreciate them.
Yeah.
And then it switches to politics and Randy, and, you know, like real fringy political feeling and passion. Mm-hmm. And now we'll play some gentle harmonica.
Yeah,
I feel like this is like NPR
in.
With more fucking swearing.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for here. Really.
So anyways, my new album is all about how I want you to elect me president. And it's the sequel to the 2004 album Tucker Booth for President that Randy got in his free care package of destiny.
Oh, yeah, the sequel.
Called Res Election. Because, yes, this country needs a res election of our president. A res election, if you will. You know, in the name of God. Amen. So you can find this online at tuckerbooth.bandcamp.com, brought to you by the fine folks at the Frozen Food Section, which you can also check out at thefrozenfoodsection.com. Resolution is a chilly, ice-cold, super dope album. We're going to play a song that's got a little political conspiracy theory that was written by my defense secretary, Antonio Scalia. It's called The Two Towers, and I think it's number 12 maybe on there, The Two Towers. Is it 12 or 13? Number 10.
Yeah.
The Two Towers, beat by Stony Rock, a.k.a. Black Spade. Written by my buddy Antonio.
Yeah, you do that. Just like before that first power fell and the dust brought those hours of hell. That shit pissed me off. But when I found out the truth, I decided this dude's gonna talk.
Okay. It don't mean much, but you can't fool New York.
Right.
Cause from the beginning, it was a setup. All of the biggest stockholders got a heads up. They let out the secret, you best get out before the weekend, or you'll be sleeping beneath that pile they'll be leaving.
Oh,
and then the planes came like rain, man. Like they were orchestrated by the same hand. Unfortunate for those that didn't change plans, like the Air Force, man, their planes stayed landed. And then there were those that never showed up, except those couple missiles that got blown up. One in the Pentagon they never owned up to, even though the camera showed it on the close-up, dudes. The other one landed inside of Penn State. No evidence it was a plane, but just wait. Even that footage of Osama was just made. He's really left-handed, so they bought and sold the best fake.
Yeah, turns out that guy had on some anti-Muslim garb that Bin Laden wouldn't have been caught dead wearing. Oh, not to mention he said he didn't do it. But that's just what you would tell your people if their enemy received a blow like that.
That's terrible.
Okay.
Not to mention those guys who said they could fly. You know, those terrorist pilots that should have died. No way in hell any of them could have survived. Guess what? 85% of them are still alive. Which isn't surprising with only two flights. The two they said they crashed were caught on satellite. Those pictures showed them fine and even landing right. They hid them in a hangar like racism and class ties. What about those passengers they couldn't find? Hey, buddy, your guess is good as mine. All I know is that wreckage is left behind. But there was none this time, two firsts of that kind. You might ask about those voicemails that had arrived. You know, from those passengers before they died. Well, they were fake. It's not as much a question of why as how. Guess what? Cell phones don't even work that high.
Yeah, the FBI admitted years ago that they now have the technology to synthesize any voice. And one question about those voicemails, most relatives said they didn't even recognize their loved ones. Like there was no way in hell it was them.
Introducing the majestic two towers of the World Trade, a.k.a. the flimsiest government buildings ever made. Also the first to fall from being hit by planes. Fall, that is. Lots have been hit. Even the Empire State. Which is strange, considering that the construction techniques were the most modern and updated we've yet seen. Like bulletproof glass, reinforced steel beams. I mean, come on, even the Tower of Pisa still leans. But one thing strange about those 911 calls were all the accounts of multiple explosions behind the walls. They happened after the planes had fallen. Why the stall? I guess the government thinks we're all just regular guys and dolls. There's no way those buildings could have collapsed the way they did, to come tumbling down like an ordinary pile of clay bricks. They were demolition explosives and someone popped a switch. I just want to know, who authorized this apocalypse?
You know that I know that you know that I know that they know exactly who did this.
Yeah, right.
And the easiest way to tell who the culprit is to notice in the aftermath who benefits.
And we absolutely must be sure to dedicate this to all the courageous, hardworking New Yorkers out there. This is not your fault. It's time for America to come together under a new president and figure out what the hell's going on in this country.
Just kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
And thanks to my defense secretary, Mr. Antonio Scalia, for digging up all this information.
This is count two.
Do you understand math? Have you really thought about math? Have you really thought about everything you can do with it? I mean, somewhere along the line, someone had to come up with 2 plus 2 equals 4. Somebody had to understand addition. Later, somebody understood subtraction. Then came division and multiplication, and basic arithmetic was formed. Someone had to discover that. Later, Newton discovered calculus. He wrote the Principia, and it was beautiful. But have you really thought about what math is out there that hasn't been discovered? Some number we haven't counted to yet? Sure, you already understand there's the end of the map, infinity. But do you understand infinity? Do you understand the length of infinite? You should. You cross over it every time you move. You move an infinite number of divisions every time you jest. Anytime an arm swings, a chest expands and flows. Anytime a leg steps forward to move you, you cross the infinite. You understand the infinite because it exists inside you. You understand the infinite because you've crossed it so many times before. You should not be afraid. And here you are wondering, can I really fully grasp this? Is this something my mind is capable of? It is, friend. It is. How many other things can you do that you did not know you could do? Could you live in a world of peace? Could you never lift a hand against a man again? Do you have the judgment, the will, the power to put in place the leaders that will take you in the direction you want to go? Do you have the notion to break free from the pack? Break the rules. Do you make rules? Should you back away or should you press forward? You should consider this heavily, my friend. There are two types out there. There are those who live within the confines of the walls, and there are those who shut down and break through all the walls. Both have an equal responsibility to our society. Those who make the rules and obey them, they create a sense of organization. They live within it, and and they maintain our world. But those who break the rules, those who do want to move forward, they help the world grow. Consider this. On election day, the resurrection day. Now go forth, my children, and resurrect Tucker Booth. For president.
Huh?
Hey, that was insane. That was insane. So much variety today. That was really fun.
Tonally,
yeah.
Schizophrenic, but
I'm going to have to come in without a plan more often, huh?
Flying by the seat of the pantaloons on Not yeah. So Shy once
uh-huh.
again.
Well, there we go.
You want me to end it with a freestyle again?
Oh, hey. Good. Throw it out there.
All right. 527, 127 over. TDB the golfer. Smoke you with the Cobra. Ricky Fowler status, looking at my Pumas. People talk the madness, but it's just a rumor, and it's not the tumor. So get in the chopper. You know how we rock it. It's TDB or OC Chopper. I checked your chakra, but I'm not no Deepak Chopra. I'm just the one who comes Orville Redenbacher popper. Comma, you know my style's a semicolon, and I'm presidential status like Barack Obama. I walk a flock of flame ya like I'm much Justin Bieber. I'm on Kill Radio, but I'm sending out heat seekers. And my people hear me. We like to keep it filthy. Selling out? Nah, man. I'm Bill Bixby, so check me out. Not so shy, John status. My Woo. Every moment in my life is like a beauty pageant. I'm JonBenet Ramsey, so go ahead and kill me. I'm out in Cali, where people can't afford the realty. Silly. That's why they always take them loans, and then they subprime those bitches, and they take their homes. Oh, you know we gotta send the drones like we did Afghanistan, where we killed Pat Tillman. Oh, no, rest in peace, like, whoa, my soul. TDB, presidential, I won't take no toll. And I don't need the money, because it can't buy me love. So give me another hug, because that's the rub. Yo, we out of here. I got to catch the bus. I feel retarded. Poor man's August Rush. Hush.
Yeah, in a word, peace.
Peace.